Welcome back to the Deep Dive, where we take your sources, complex research, clinical trials, sometimes massive systematic reviews, and we really try to distill them down to the critical, actionable takeaways.
Mm.
Today, our focus is on post-trauma care, specifically for patients who are recovering from pretty serious bone fractures.
And this is such a hugely important area of healthcare. I mean, when someone has a serious fracture, the immediate focus is, you know, fixing the bone.
Right.
But often the really dangerous complications, they happen next. We're talking about deep venous thrombosis or DVT.
Exactly. And for anyone who needs a quick refresher, DVT is when a blood clot forms in a deep vein, usually in the legs. Immobility, which is, you know, basically mandatory after a major fracture, just ramps up this risk significantly.
And if that clot breaks off and travels to the lungs?
You get a pulmonary embolism, which is a potentially fatal event. So we absolutely need measures that are aggressive, effective, and just reliable to stop this from happening.
And that need is really what drove the source material for this deep dive. We are looking at a systematic review and meta-analysis, and it asks this really crucial high-stakes question.
Mm-hmm.
Does an optimized approach, what they're calling rehabilitation nursing, offer a clear, measurable advantage over just routine nursing in preventing DVT in these patients?
That is the mission.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking for evidence that could, you know, fundamentally shift how we do things in clinical practice.
Okay, let's unpack this.
What's fascinating here is that the goal isn't just some small incremental change. It's about identifying a pathway that could drastically reduce a life-threatening complication. And this complication costs hospitals a ton of money. And, way more importantly, it impacts patient longevity. So the findings we have today are immediately relevant to you, whether you're a caregiver, a clinician, or, you know, maybe a future patient.
Before we jump into the data, which is actually kind of staggering, I think we need to clarify the intervention itself. When the study says rehabilitation nursing versus routine nursing, what are we actually talking about?
That's a great question, because I think for a lot of people, nursing might just bring to mind comfort and basic observation. This sounds much more active.
It's a crucial distinction, and it's where the power of this systematic review really lies. So routine nursing in this context is basically standard post-op care, you know, monitoring vitals, giving meds, some passive assistance with daily needs.
And maybe some general advice like move your toes when you can.
Exactly. It's necessary, but as you said, maybe not proactive enough to really counter that massive DVT risk.
So what's different about rehabilitation nursing?
It's a much more structured, holistic, and active model. It starts earlier, it's highly individualized, and it includes, first, structured early mobilization.
So getting the patient safely moving within dictated limits as soon as possible.
As soon as possible. Second, there's specific DVT-focused health education. You're actually teaching patients the warning signs, the importance of active leg exercises. And third, there's psychological support and goal setting. This bit is key. It fosters engagement, makes them active participants in their own recovery, not just passive recipients of care.
So the mechanism of action is pretty clear. It's about reducing stasis, improving blood flow through, you know, guided early activity.
And empowering the patient.
And empowering the patient, exactly. But that comprehensive, hands-on level of care, it just sounds like it must demand way more resources.
More time, more specific training.
Yeah, way more than just routine nursing. And that detail, I think, is just critical to understanding what the study's implications really are.
Absolutely. The question then becomes, do the benefits, specifically this DVT reduction, do they justify that likely increased investment?
Well, let's find out. Let's look at the sources themselves, because we are not relying on a single trial here. This deep dive is built on a systematic review and a meta-analysis that pulled together the findings from 11 separate studies.
And they followed PRISMA guidelines, which is really the gold standard for this kind of evidence synthesis.
That rigor is so important.
It is. It ensures we have really high confidence in the final conclusion. And to avoid any kind of confirmation bias, the researchers did this exhaustive literature search across a huge, diverse array of databases. I mean, they scour Chinese sources like CNKI and Wangfang.
Okay.
And also major Western ones like PubMed, Embase, the Cochrane Library, and Web of Science.
That extensive search across different geographies, it really bolsters the credibility, doesn't it? It makes it much harder for someone to just dismiss the final result as, you know, something specific to one region's clinical practices.
Exactly. If a finding holds true across 11 independent studies from all these different clinical environments, it gives a kind of universal weight to the conclusion.
So when they pooled all of this data together, what specific metrics were they looking at?
The primary metric was the hard clinical outcome, the risk ratio, or RR, for DVT incidence. That tells us the probability of developing DVT in one group versus the other.
And there was a secondary metric, too.
There was, yeah, which we'll get to. They also looked at nursing satisfaction rates. And to make sure we can trust the comparison, they meticulously assessed heterogeneity. That's how much the results varied between the studies, using stats called chi-squared and I-squared.
And I-squared is the really important one here, right? So for the learner, if the I-squared is low, what does that mean for us?
A low I-squared value means the results across all the included studies are incredibly consistent. So, for example, if one study found rehab nursing cut DVT risk by 80%, and another found 79%, and a third found 81%.
The I-squared would be very low.
Very low. And that consistency gives us more confidence that the effect is real and reliable, not just, you know, random chance.
Perfect. That sets the foundation. So let's get to the central result. Here's where it gets really interesting. What did this meta-analysis tell us about DVT risk reduction overall?
Well, the finding wasn't just positive. It was profoundly definitive. Rehabilitation nursing showed a significant, just a massive reduction in DVT risk compared to routine nursing right across the board.
Let's talk numbers. The pooled risk ratio.
The pooled risk ratio, the RR, came in at 0.20.
Wow, 0.20. So just to be clear for everyone listening, that means DVT incidence was essentially reduced by a jaw-dropping 80% for patients getting rehabilitation nursing.
80%. It is enormous, especially given how severe this complication can be.
And the stats behind that number.
They're ironclad. The 95% confidence interval was tight, from 0.11 to 0.36, which signals reliability. But even more compelling was the statistical significance. The p-value was less than 0.000001.
That's basically clinical certainty.
It is.
So in real terms, if you expected 100 patients on routine care to get a DVT with this protocol, you'd only expect 20 to get one. That's a massive difference. It translates directly into lives saved, reduced healthcare costs.
Exactly. It completely changes the risk profile for fracture recovery. And to go back to that consistency measure you asked about, the I-squared.
Right, you said low is good.
It was minimal, right. Reinforcing the trustworthiness. The heterogeneity assessment showed I-squared was equal to 0%. 0%. Which means that across all 11 of these studies, the results were almost perfectly consistent. Rehabilitation nursing just consistently produced this profound reduction in risk.
When you see an 80% risk reduction and it's confirmed across 11 different studies with zero variability, you have something incredibly powerful.
You do.
Which raises the logical question, right? If this is so dramatic and consistent, I mean, bordering on a no-brainer, why isn't this already the global standard of care?
And that is the big picture logistical question this data forces us to confront. Is it the cost, staffing, specialized training? I mean, the data suggests a huge reduction in long-term complication costs. But yes, that initial investment in training and staffing for this more hands-on approach is likely the biggest barrier.
So we have a clear clinical signal.
A very clear signal.
But implementation requires a systemic overhaul. That's the tension.
Exactly. Now, the review didn't just stop at that big pooled result. It smartly broke down the findings by the location of the fracture.
Okay, so why does fracture location matter so much in this context?
Well, it fundamentally changes the immobilization dynamic. A fracture in your lower limb, like a tibia or femur, it directly compromises blood flow right where most DVTs form.
Right, in the legs.
But a spine fracture, that's different. That requires rigid, complex immobilization that can severely restrict any whole body movement for a long time. So we need to know if this approach works in both of these very distinct high-risk scenarios.
And the subgroup analysis, it did confirm it was effective in both cases, right? Though I remember there were some fascinating differences in the magnitude.
Yes. Significant reductions in both. But for patients with spine fractures, the relative reduction was actually even more profound than the overall result.
The risk ratio for spine fracture patients was what, 0.13?
0.13, exactly. Which means an 87% reduction in risk for that spine group. That is just absolutely massive for a patient population that faces such difficult and restrictive immobilization. And the p-value was, again, less than 0.0001. Total certainty.
An 87% reduction for spine patients. Wow. That suggests that this proactive intervention might be absolutely essential for counteracting the severe lack of mobility from a spinal injury.
I think that's the takeaway. Where the trauma requires the most rigid, complete immobilization, like with the spine, this active, structured component of rehab nursing seems to yield the largest relative benefit because it's fighting the worst baseline risk.
Okay. Now, what about the lower limb fractures? The reduction was still huge, but the RR was a bit higher.
Correct. For lower limb fractures, the risk ratio was 0.27.
Still, that's a phenomenal result. That's a 73% reduction in DVT risk with a very strong p-value of 0.001.
It's a major success. And again, the review confirmed no heterogeneity in either of these subgroups, that consistency is maintained across fracture types. The core message is just unwavering. The benefit is undeniable, regardless of where the injury is.
That is just such a powerful story of clinical efficacy. I mean, saving lives, preventing severe complications. But now we shift to that secondary finding you mentioned, the human element, because we often forget that care is only truly successful if the patient feels better, not just clinically safer. Did they look at how patients actually felt about this enhanced level of care?
They did, and it provides this beautiful counterpoint to all the dry statistics. They look specifically at the nursing satisfaction rate.
And was the difference significant between the active rehab group and the routine care group?
Oh, very much so. Patient satisfaction was significantly higher in the rehabilitation nursing group. The pooled risk ratio for satisfaction was 1.25.
So patients were, on average, 25% more likely to say they were satisfied with the rehabilitation nursing model.
Yes. With a 95% CI of 1.16 to 1.36, and once again, that p-value of less than 0.000001. So this is where the quantitative data really meets the qualitative experience.
Why do you think that satisfaction jumps so much? Is it just knowing you're getting better medical care?
I think it's more layered than that. The satisfaction, it probably stems from those core elements we defined earlier. It's not just the reduced risk, it's the proactivity, the education, the psychological support. When a patient is taught to actively participate in their own recovery, they're given exercises, they get dedicated psychological check-ins, they just feel a greater sense of control and empowerment. That extra hands-on time, it fosters better communication, a greater sense of security during what's often a really terrifying and painful time.
It connects the dots perfectly. You get this gold standard medical prevention and 80% DVT risk reduction, and it's paired with a significantly better patient journey. It's not just a technical win, it's a holistic one.
It suggests that effective medical care and patient satisfaction aren't mutually exclusive. They're intrinsically linked through a model that treats the whole person, not just the fracture.
So what does this all mean for standard clinical practice if you had to summarize the combined power of these findings?
Well, the direct conclusion from the systematic review is unequivocal. The findings strongly support the immediate and widespread integration of rehabilitation nursing into standard care for fracture patients. Their analysis suggests it's necessary both to mitigate DVT risk and to improve overall patient outcomes and satisfaction.
So this is a loud, clear call for systemic change, and it's driven by incredibly robust data.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it really validates this whole transition in medicine toward active, patient-centered rehabilitative care, starting at the earliest possible stage, not just relying on passive observation and drugs alone.
But as with any good analysis, there's a caveat.
Of course. As responsible analysts, we have to include the note of caution from the study authors themselves. They do warrant further research with larger sample sizes, more diverse populations, just to fully corroborate these compelling results.
Which is the nature of good science. Always testing the evidence, no matter how good it looks.
Exactly. But even with that, the current data is incredibly strong.
So for you, the learner, the takeaway knowledge is clear and immediate. Rehabilitation nursing is not just some marginal improvement. The pooled risk reduction for DVT at an RR of 0.20 is statistically robust, clinically meaningful, and consistent across different fracture types. And crucially, it comes with that added benefit of making patients significantly happier with their care.
The evidence here is compelling enough to demand a serious conversation in every single orthopedic unit worldwide, and it forces us to ask those hard questions about implementation, which leads us to our final provocative thought for you to take away. Given that this type of care not only reduces a life-threatening complication like a DVT by such a statistically robust margin, but it also drastically improves patient satisfaction, what are the primary barriers, be they related to system funding, nursing training pipeline shortfalls, or just rigid legacy clinical protocols that prevent rehabilitation nursing from becoming the immediate global standard of care for all fracture patients?